Good morning. Thank you for waiting. I'll take just a moment and talk about two ideas that we have here, and then I'll be glad to answer your questions. They both involve the government takeover of car companies. The first is the legislation that I've introduced along with Senator Bennett, McConnell, Kyle, Gregg, and a number of other Republican senators, which we call Auto Stock for Every Taxpayer Act. It would require the government, within a year after GM comes out of bankruptcy, to distribute all of the stock the government owns in GM and Chrysler to the 120 million or so Americans who paid taxes on April 15. This is the fastest way to get the auto stock out of the hands of the government and into the hands of taxpayers. It has another advantage. If you follow football, you know the Green Bay Packers are owned by the fans, and it produces a lot of interested fans. It would be helpful to General Motors and Chrysler if they had 120 million Americans who had a vested interest in their success. But what would help them more than anything is to stop the political meddling in Washington, which inevitably comes when the government owns a big private company like General Motors. We've had the president calling, firing the president of General Motors, calling the new president to tell him where his headquarters ought to be. We've had Barney Frank calling Massachusetts and saying, calling the president of General Motors and say, don't close my distribution center. We've had congressmen talking about model sizes, what kind of cars to drive. We've got a new PAYSAR to fix the price of labor at car companies. So the best thing that would help the companies succeed is to get the stock out of Washington and into the hands of taxpayers. And the rationale would be to the taxpayers, you paid for it, you should own it. And to emphasize this, the second idea is I'm on a regular basis going to begin to present a Car Czar Award from America's new automotive headquarters, Washington, D.C. I did that first on Monday. I gave Honorable Barney Frank the award for interfering in the operation of General Motors by calling the president of GM and getting him not to close a warehouse in Massachusetts that employed 90 people. I'll continue to do that. As I said earlier, the single biggest impediment to the success of the car companies may be the political meddlers in Washington who are requiring those who ought to be designing and building and selling cars to get in their government-approved vehicle of transportation and drive to Washington and testify for hours under oath. There are probably 60 committees and subcommittees who have the authority to investigate and hold hearings, and they probably will, and the car managers will never have a chance to make a car. They'll be reduced to the status of some unfortunate assistant secretary who's traipsing from subcommittee hearing carrying a briefing book. So you'll be hearing more on a regular basis about the Car Czar Award. I'll be glad to take your questions.
Senator Noel Shepard from Newsbusters, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Do you see some problem getting this through a Democrat-controlled Congress from two standpoints? First of all, number one, the idea that only tax-paying Americans would be getting shares. I have this sneaking feeling the Democrats aren't going to like that one bit. And then the other question here would be, are we going to be dividing these shares by a percentage of the tax paid such that the higher taxpayers are the ones who actually get more of the shares? If that was indeed the case, I could see Democrats really squawking. So I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yeah, well, the answer to your questions are yes and no. The Democrats, I haven't heard much from the Democrats about this, and you're right, they probably will object to the idea of letting the people who own it actually, who paid for it, actually getting the shares, but I think that's critically important. If we kept the shares in the government, the taxpayers are the ones who'd end up having to pay the bill or getting the benefit, so they ought to get the benefit if the shares are given back to them. It's very simple. We give the shares to those who paid for it, and we are likely to have a disagreement about that. Your second question is, in theory, I would agree that we should try to divide up the shares based upon the amount of tax you've paid, but that's not my proposal. The proposal is to give the little guy a break and distribute the shares equally to the 120 million or so persons who filed individual tax returns. That there's a legitimate objection to that. It does separate reward and work, but I think it's a simpler, cleaner proposal.
Senator, this is Jennifer Rubin from Commentary Magazine and Pajamas Media. Yesterday, the Supreme Court lifted the stay on the Chrysler bankruptcy, allowing that to proceed. I'm just curious what your reaction was to that, and if you have a level of concern about the treatment of bondholders, both in the Chrysler and coming up in the General Motors bankruptcy as well. Have we now set a new standard for the rule of law and for private property owners?
Well, we have, and the private property and the rule of law are essential to the American character, and we've damaged both in this proceeding. I mean, what will happen in the future is people are going to be slower to lend money to enterprises and to rely on contracts that require the money to be paid back. Our system won't function very well if we undermine either property rights or the rule of law, and we've done that in this case.
Senator Travis Griffith at CarGurus.com, thank you. Should this plan go through, is there anything stopping American tax holders from dumping their stock as soon as it makes money and getting something else and dumping GM right back to where they were?
No, there's not. Of course, that's the way the free market works. I mean, this is not such an unusual procedure. It happens several times a year. It's called a stock distribution, and big companies sometimes do it when they have a subsidiary that doesn't fit the mission of the parent company. What happens is the stock ends up in the hands of millions of stockholders. They either keep it or they sell it. And the price of the stock finds a market price. My guess would be there'd be a number of buyers come in and say, it's at a low price today. I'd like to buy it now and hold it. But it's just like in the other hundreds of millions of shares of stock that are out there. It'll float and find a price and go forward. The alternative would be for the government to dispose of it slowly over a period of 4, 5, 6, 7 years. The president of General Motors, Fritz Henderson, told a number of us on the phone that while that was the Treasury's decision, that it was such a large block of stock, GM had more than 600 million shares before bankruptcy, it'd have to be managed down very slowly, he guessed. So that would create a terrible situation. We'd have political meddlers in Washington running the car companies for 5 or 6 years, which means they'd probably run them both right into the ground.
Senator, this is Stephanie Davis from RFC Radio, and my question to you is, are you concerned that this type of political meddling will somehow be extended to Ford and that there will be efforts made to undermine Ford and bring it under the control of government?
Well, I surely hope not. I mean, I think we should be moving the other way, and the sooner we get the GM and Chrysler stock out of the government's hands and into individual taxpayers or investors' hands, the less likely it is that Ford will be meddled with. We're getting into a dangerous pattern of Washington takeover here. First it was the banks, then it was the insurance companies, then it was student loans, then it was the car companies. Now it's the auto suppliers, then we have a Paysar, and next it sounds like we're going to have a Washington takeover of our healthcare system. So the American people are growing very wary of this, and I think there will be broad support in the country, I know there will be, for the idea of let's go back the other way. Let's get the government ownership out of Washington into the hands of people in the free market where it belongs.
Well, Senator, following up on that, Noel Shepard again. Talking about going the other way, what were your thoughts as to what transpired in Europe on Sunday and Monday, and whether in 2010 America could look forward to a similar and much-needed shift to the right?
Well, I've been around a little while. I've had the privilege of seeing 1975 through 77 from a Republican point of view. That was disastrous after Watergate. I saw what happened in 1993 after President Clinton was elected. People come by, party, things can change quickly. And in the past, what's happened in Europe has often been an indicator, a leading political indicator of what might happen in this country. When people turn away from the left in Europe, they're likely to do it here. And the more the Obama administration practice its politics of Washington takeover, the more wary Americans are going to be of one-party control in Washington, which is what we have today.
Mo Lane from Red State. Thanks for talking to us today, Senator. In light of Representative Frank's interference for his district, what do you think? Do you think that makes it more likely or less likely that allegations that the Democrats have been interfering with Chrysler clothing dealerships in terms of political contributions, you feel that that makes those allegations more likely or less likely?
Well, I did hear about that you know, it's inevitable that when you have an incestuous relationship like this, when you have the owners calling in the company and saying loan this, make this bank loan, or don't close this plant, or change this model, or quit buying a battery from South Korea and make it in my congressional district, that just taints the whole affair. I think Congressman Frank was right to say this is just what every congressman does, but that just what every congressman does, but I'm sorry, I forgot where I was. I think Congressman Frank said this is what every congressman does. He's right about that, because we all have our responsibilities to help our district. I'll probably end up having to give the Carzar Award to myself someday for urging that the Saturn plant be kept open by GM. But what I want to end that incestuous relationship and the situation where you've basically got asking one side of two competing teams to be a referee and say put the stock back in the hands of individuals, and then the bank loans, the banks can be responsible for their own loans.
Okay, a quick follow-up then, because I didn't ask the question properly, I don't think. Do you feel then that...
I think you did. I got interrupted, and I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So basically, do you feel that the allegations that, that the Democrats are interfering with car dealership closings to be credible? There is some suggestion that Democratic contributing dealerships were more likely to be spared the axe than, like, you know, Republican or independent ones.
Well, I don't have any evidence of that, but of course I've heard it just as you've heard it, and it's an inevitable result of the incestuous relationship when the government owns the companies. Someone's going to suspect that that politics had to do with the plant closing and with the bank loan, or with picking this model or that model. So the appearance of impropriety is the inevitable result of this kind of incestuous relationship, and the only way I know to end it is to get the stock out of Washington back in individual investors.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Travis Griffith again. How often can we look forward to your Carzar Award presentation?
Well, I expect I'll have a couple of times a week, maybe. There's a lot of competition, you know, for these. There's plenty of material. For example, today, Senator Dodd has a couple of the chief meddlers from the administration up for a hearing on how the government regulates auto companies. And tomorrow, the House Financial Services is having a hearing. And this week, the president is appointing a pay czar, who the New York Times story Monday said would create rules for what auto companies with government loans could pay their employees. And while he was at it, he'd monitor other pay. So I think there'll be a never-ending supply of stories, and I'll have to pick and choose carefully to decide who to honor.
Following up on a previous question, do you have any confidence, Senator, that the government controlling General Motors at this point will behave in a completely transparent fashion as it accused banks and other entities of not doing vis-a-vis letting us know exactly what is happening with General Motors every step of the way rather than us having to ask. So in the case of, let's say, were there plants that were closed because of they received Republican funds, shouldn't we owning the shares be made aware of all of this every step of the way?
Well, the answer is yes, and of course there again you have the dilemma of the incestuous relationship. General Motors is technically a private company right now. Its stock's been delisted, but it will find that as long as the government owns 60% of the stock, it's going to be the most public private company in America because there will be a demand for it to be. So I expect that while today the administration and others may be reluctant to support our legislation to get the stock out of here, that a few months from now, when they find how difficult it is to deal with this, they'll be grateful to get it out of here. And I would hope General Motors would welcome having stockholders as owners rather than taxpayers represented by Washington meddlers. I'm going to have to go now. I appreciate very much the time you've given me today and your excellent questions. And if you have any other questions, if you want to get in touch with my office here, I'll let them tell you how to do that.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.